This is the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Part 2. This is Andy Weiss, and I'm interviewing Sally Schmidt on Wednesday, October 3rd, 1984. Sally, I just want to ask you, before we get into all the wonderful contributions you and your husband made to Pittsburgh life, tell me a little bit about your background, your home, your family, where you lived when you first came to Pittsburgh, just to give us a little bit of background information about you.
Okay, I have spent the larger part of my life in Pittsburgh. I think that I was born on Bedford Avenue, but we lived there for only a very short time. And at that time, my father and mother had come from New York, and with my oldest brother, who was an infant. He worked for McCreary Company.
Your father worked for me.
And really, he didn't know too much about the fur trade except what he picked up when he came to America. They had settled in New York, down in the Lower East Side, around Hester, Delancey Street, and it was so much of a ghetto that my father, much to the chagrin of relatives, decided to move away. And there was a family connection here in Pittsburgh, which is why he located here. After being with McCreary for a few years, he opened his own place of business at Forbes and Craig Street in the year 1906, and he felt that this was going to be the cultural center of the city. And actually, this is where I was raised, on South Craig. And at that time, there were very few Jewish families. We were amongst the very few. And I went to school in Oakland, and then my family moved to Beeler Street, so that I have been in this same location for many years.
So you really, at South Craig, you must be happy to see what South Craig is happening
yes.
now.
Yes, for many years. My father was a classical reader, and I have his autographed books here, which he has bequeathed to me, and he felt that education was very important. At that time, many of the girls that I'd gone to school with just went out and worked after they finished high school. But it was my father's opinion that education was something that you might need for support someday in the future, if not for your own use. And it was very fortunate that I had this education, because it certainly had value for me in many ways in later life. When we moved to Beeler Street, I went to Whiteman School, from where I graduated. And my children also went to Whiteman School. My family was more on the liberal reform side. so that I went to Road of Sholem, where I was confirmed, as well as my brothers.
How many children in the family, Sally? How many? They're beautiful. Oh, let me picture. So they're
three brothers and one sister.
Beautiful.
They're all dead.
Beautiful. What a beautiful. Still beautiful. And he believed even that a girl should have an education. I knew that.
Yes. And the school that I was interested in was Carnegie Tech at that time. And I had no idea of going into social work when I entered. I went into the art school. I thought I was going to be an actress, but I didn't pass the entrance
audition.
And we discussed what an interesting and good, promising field would be. And since I love people, and under the guidance of my parents, I decided to go into social work, which I did. And as I mentioned, my father had a great deal of vision, and also being liberal in thinking, he felt that as long as there were people that were poor, undertrodden, ill, and had many problems, that this was a field, a helping profession. When I knew my husband while I was going to school, he was at Penn State, I was at Tech. But he had many interests. He was going into law school. I worked for a short time with the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, it was called. And this was my first introduction to the Hill District, really, except for the fact that when I was doing a practice work at Carnegie Tech as part of my field work, I was a counselor at Emma Kaufman Camp.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I went on a trip where we walked from the old settlement to the railroad station, the whole line, and then we got to camp. It was an exciting experience, and it was in line with my getting to know what some of the problems really are amongst the deprived.
Was your family relatively then by this time well off, and that there were a lot of new immigrants on the hill? Is that what you're saying, Sally?
My family was very well off.
Yeah.
And everything up to this point, really, perhaps a little bit later, was just fun. And just enjoying everything around me. Very happy-go-lucky. My first job was with girls that had many problems, from unmarried mothers to girls that were at school in the city and needed foster home placements, and runaways, and so forth. Now, most of these girls were older than I was. And the job didn't work out too well, although it gave me a great deal of experience. And I remember the thought of Jewish girls being involved in prostitution, and this kind of thing was something that was very hard to accept. And there weren't many of them, but there were some. So I went to New York. I had family there, and I lived with them, worked in Brooklyn, pardon me while I get a cleaning. I have something here. I'll just step over
here.
Here,
I'll move. We're supposed to leave the tape on in case I were to forget to put it back on.
I forgot to.
It's very, very interesting.
And the neighborhood that I worked in was entirely Italian. I worked in Brooklyn. And it was an exciting experience. And I learned a lot about the Italian background, although I'd had a little bit of that in my practice work school. We, as part of our course, lived at Kingsley House for 6 weeks.
Kingsley House was what, Sally? Explained.
Kingsley House was similar to what the Irene Kaufman settlement. It was a recreation facility.
But in an Italian?
It was over in Larmer Avenue, in the
Italian
neighborhood. So I learned a lot about their ethnic backgrounds. And at that time, I also became convinced that I did not want to go into the field of recreation and settlement work because you lived in the settlement house, which is, of course, no more. It's entirely different. You perhaps remember Sidney Teller and his wife living at the settlement.
Oh, they lived at the settlement.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so you were in an Italian neighborhood, and that did you good stead in New York. Did you find there was a, that you could relate equally as well to the Italian family, the immigrant family, as well as to the Jewish immigrant family, or was there a...
there was a difference, but they were people, and they had problems, and it was amazing, although I did not know Italian, we were able to communicate. And at that time, I became affiliated with a young congregation that were interested in young people, and their thinking was more on the reform side, and I taught Sunday school there.
In Brooklyn, you taught?
No, in New York.
In New York.
I lived in Manhattan and commuted to Brooklyn. I forgot to mention. Well, cross that out. I came home on a vacation, summer vacation. And my husband learned that I was home. In the meantime, he had become engaged and disengaged to someone else. But I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't
know? I hadn't seen him for almost 3 years.
Uh-huh. But was he on the back? He was in the back burner.
I always loved him, but there were others. And we were married shortly after I came home on vacation. I had a job in New York, and they had plans for me, and I just couldn't stand it. My husband was born and raised in East Pittsburgh. His grandparents settled in Manor, Pennsylvania, and his background was conservative. And it was through him that I became more conservative. You know, when I was going to Sunday school, as most people can tell you, we did not have bar mitzvahs. The Board of Trustees was composed of largely people with the German background and culture, and they had the say of what was going on. So that, incidentally, I had no idea that there was a stock market crash until I was riding the subway in New York and they were saying, Wall Street crash, Wall Street. And here I was living in New York. My father was sending me extra money beside my salary. If I wanted to buy an outfit, go ahead, you know. And that's what I came home to, you see. And we were going to be married. But
you came home to the Depression.
To the Depression, right.
You got married in 1929?
30. Married in 30. The Depression started in 29. And I had seen the beginning of it when I left New York, people being evicted. And it was really very tragic. But when I came home, it was one of the first worst experiences that I will ever remember, and our children, of course, just can't appreciate what it meant. And before we got married, I had my job set. I knew that my husband was starting out in the practice of law. He had absolutely no money, and I had a position with a non-Jewish agency, Family and Children's Service, and I had a wide area clear up to West Newton, and we had people who had no heat, no light. We were busy with coal orders, food orders. They were evicted. We had to get temporary housing for them. And I remember one family living in a garage. Their light was by oil lamp. We gave out kerosene and lamp orders. And they were eating bread spread with lard. We gave bags of flour out, shoe orders, and worked very closely with the Department of Public Assistance. We were a private agency, but we worked with them.
Was the Depression, you didn't work with just Jewish people. Was the Depression very prevalent in the Jewish community
also?
It
was prevalent all over.
And did Jewish people come to your agency, or did
no,
they? Was there a separate?
Yes. They would go to the Department of Public Assistance. And then for certain problems, they would be referred to Jewish Family and Children. Sure, my father lost every dime, plus his house.
What did that do to people?
Well, there were suicides. It broke up family morale. Couples moved in with their families, and they lived very close together.
And did your father regain his position, or did he feel that he had lost?
He lost because his clientele were people of wealth, like the Thaws, the Leovis, the Mellons, people of that kind. And they didn't, I guess, lose their money, but there were people in that social category that were not interested in custom-made furs, you know. But
how did your family stick it out? Did you all move together when your father lost his house?
Well, it was about that time then that I came home and found out what was what, and we did. And what happened was that my husband and I moved in with my family, and since I was working, I was making $137 a month. That was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we shared expenses. And my father found a long-lost relative in Wheeling, and I had a scrapyard. My husband had his first big case where he got a sizable sum, and he loaned it to my father. And my father bought the scrap business in Wheeling. And it was very hard. My father and my brothers lived above a shack. And from furs, they went to rags.
Aww.
But they made it.
They made it.
Yes, they did, by hard work.
And what about your husband, though? Where did he start to practice? And was he a specialist? Did he practice?
General practice.
Yeah.
He started when he graduated in the Grant Building. And he had a night office in East Pittsburgh where he was raised. No car. He would travel from downtown to Wilkinsburg and change to a streetcar there and go to East Pittsburgh, and then he would come home. It was very difficult. And coming from a small community where they were very well recognized, they were the modern trend, he did have some following out there, and he built up a practice, but his father was involved in local politics, and my husband got the incentive to go into politics. Also, his parents were very interested in the Zionist movement, and my husband, even when he was going to school, got involved in that. I think he told me that during World War II, he used to go with his scout group down to the railroad station to see the boys go off to war, and he and his mother nursed during the big flu epidemic in 1918. And this was a very, very difficult period. This was the day of the steel strikes, men out of work, and so forth. But even with all this going on, I was interested in the community in Hadassah. I got was one of the first ones in the Youth Aliyah movement for Hadassah. And a council had started a program to help boys and girls who were going to school who needed lunch money. And we had a small committee who interviewed families, and we had all been in the field of social work. One of them was Belle Krause, who was married to Gilbert. Yeah, and Minerva Levinson. And we arranged to give them lunch money. And this was a project that the council had for a while. I think at that time I was a member of a junior council. I also was involved with hospital aid and became a vice president in charge of social service. And one of the programs that occurred during my term of office was an occupational or recreational therapy program for patients that were waiting operations mm-hmm. and who were in the hospital for some time. And that program is still going on with a trained person.
So are you saying that while you, when you first started to work, you were always active in the Jewish community?
Yes.
Even while you were working and your husband was
starting even when I was going to school, because years ago, you've heard of Miriam Schoenfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam Schoenfeld had religious schools in the outlying communities. And I didn't know my husband then, but he was superintendent in Greensburg, and I taught in Homewood.
Oh, that is amazing.
That's right.
That is so that uh-huh. you're... So that it was like lots of strands. There was public service, and there was social work, and always the Jewish community too that you were involved.
That's right.
Sally, can I ask you? So how long you were then? When did you have your children? Were and could you work? How long were you married before you had your children? And
I was fired from two jobs.
Oh. Wow.
I was fired with the job with Problem Girls because, as I mentioned, I was younger
than the girls.
I certainly didn't have the maturity. And I was working and became pregnant. And in those days, after you became pregnant, you couldn't stay on the job. And I worked until the beginning of the eighth month, I think. And then I was told I had to leave. And I cried because I never missed one day's work.
You were till the eighth month, and was this still a Jewish family, not Jewish family, a family services?
Family and children's
family
service.
And children, because I know that's separate from Jewish family.
Yeah, and while I was there, the 1936 floods, and I was loaned to the Red Cross for emergency relief. I have my Red Cross armband, and I can know that we all had to take typhoid shots, and I had my typhoid shot, and I passed clear out of the picture. So that my life was involved. I've always worked. We were married October the 4th. My job started November the 1st, and I worked.
Now, you're the first ERA modern woman, love women's love. But Sally, when you had your children, you've always worked, but when your children, after you had how many children?
Two. I have two sons.
And while you were bringing them up, did you work, could you work while you were, I know you worked with your husband, but did you work in an agency or could
no,
we get into
not
that?
Until the children were of school age.
Uh, You stayed home with the children.
Yes, and did community service.
And did community service.
Right.
And then how, while this was, while you were staying home and raising the family, I'm sure Ted was prospering as a lawyer, and you said he had the bug from his parents to get into politics.
His mother said to her sorrow.
To her sorrow, really? She didn't
Politics is very difficult.
I think we're...
Okay. Are we out of time?
We're getting to the...
Okay,
what do you want now?
Now we're going to switch roles. And she's going to do it. And now she's... I want to try to get you to give the background of who you are. Now she's going to talk about, I guess, the politics and...